Before we start an official series, I wanted to look at a couple of Psalms. Psalm 63 this morning. We'll look at Psalm 121 this evening, Lord willing. So Psalm 63. My hope as we continue to worship together in the weeks and months and years ahead, that we will continue to yearn and thirst for our God more and more. And so Psalm 63, hear God's holy word. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you've been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouth of liars will be stopped. Indeed. You may be seated, and let's then pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word, and how we thank you that your word continues to show us of your greatness and your faithfulness. Our Father, we thank you for the thirst of the psalmist here, and we pray that you would increase our yearning for you. Father, bless each of us, and bless he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. And so, Father, we pray, speak to us, strengthen us, and allow not our sin or the sin of he who brings your word get in the way of us hearing what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I doubt there are many here, if any, who have been in a literal dry and weary land in a desert place where there is no water. Though perhaps there are some who may have experience that, but we all know what it is like to be thirsty. You all know what it is to be out on a hot summer day. You're working hard. Your thirst becomes intense, and you can't wait to get something cold to drink, something refreshing, and you long for something in your mouth as your tongue just sticks like cotton to the roof of your mouth. I question, as we think about that, would you describe your yearning and your thirst for God in that same way? That you yearn for God like that? I think most of us here, actually I think all of us here, would say, well, I want it to be like that, but that's not actually how it is. And so our challenge today, and a thought as I come in here as your pastor that I want to continue to do, is to challenge yourself, challenge me, to yearn and thirst for God all the more. The book of Psalms is a thirsty book. A book filled with souls yearning and longing after God. Think of the passages that you're familiar with, like Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Or Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Or Psalm 84 as well, which we read for our call to worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And so again, as we've read Psalm 63, as you've looked at the Psalms yourself and read of men yearning for God with all that is in them, how often do we say to ourselves, I don't thirst for God like that, but I wish I did. I want to. I want to thirst for God more. May God indeed increase our thirst and grant us a yearning for Him that will not be quenched, but a thirst that will be satisfied as we meet with God. Not quenched, but satisfied. You've gone for a time without a pastor. And this congregation does indeed to seem to be a congregation with a thirst and a yearning for God. And I praise that for I praise God for that. But our yearning can always improve. And if we're honest with ourselves, perhaps there's times where we say, I'm really not yearning for God at all at this moment. Now, we can normally gather together in God's presence every single Lord's Day. That's not the case for our brothers and sisters in other places where they're facing persecution. We have brothers and sisters in Chinese prisons, sometimes still gathering within the prison, or cell to cell, still worshiping God. How thankful we are that we can normally gather without persecution of being arrested or persecuted, and we get to gather together twice each Lord's Day. And my hope is that God, through this thirsty psalm, will grant each of us an intense yearning for Him. Again, a thirst that won't be quenched, but will be satisfied as we meet for worship. So four things that we'll focus on this morning. First of all, we'll look at the intensity of David's thirst. And then we'll look at the reasons for his thirst. Then we'll look at the effect of his thirst. And then we'll talk about the satisfaction of his thirst. Well, David had, as you see here, an intense thirst for God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Right? It's described as a man who's in the desert. Children, you remember seeing those cartoons, right, where somebody's in the desert and they're crawling along the desert and they're saying, water, water. Well, David here is describing his yearning and his thirst for God like that. And if we're going to fully understand the intensity of this thirst, we need to understand the context in which the psalm was written. It's a psalm of David written when he was in the wilderness or the desert of Judah, the area west of the Dead Sea. It is a dry, rocky, desert place. So David was literally in a dry and weary land. David knew what it's like to be thirsty, but in the midst of that, what he really longed for was God. What is it that we long for the most? And do you remember when David fled to the desert? You may remember this from 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 19. Absalom, waiting for people to approach the king's court with a complaint. He was waiting there, and when they approached with a complaint, Absalom would say, I wish somebody was here to hear you. You've got a great issue. And you know what? If I were king, I would make sure that you have justice. But I'm not the king. My dad's the king, and nobody's here to help you. So he ended up raising support for himself against David to the point where David had to flee for his life. He fled for his life. He also fled for the sake of Jerusalem. Didn't want the fighting right there. And in the midst of this difficult situation, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this adversity and pain, as he's in a desert place, he doesn't say, God, I need something to drink. He doesn't say, I want you to stop Absalom now. Now, I'm not saying his prayers didn't include some of those things. But in the midst of everything that was going on, in the midst of an attempt on his life, what consumed him was his yearning for God. His cry was earnestly, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He missed going to the temple to pray, the sanctuary. That's what he longed for. He thirsted for the God he met there and communed with and worshiped. And in the midst of hardships and trials, in the midst of difficult things in our own nation, in the midst of wickedness in our land, what is it that we're yearning for? We ought to yearn for the presence of God. In fact, a great prayer too is, right, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But when we do meet for worship, we do come into the presence of God. We do meet with Him. It's not as if we're here and God is far, far away. No, God lifts us up to the heights of heaven and we get to come into His very presence. We get to meet with Him. We get to see Him, not with our physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith. Even when we're in the wilderness, even when there's a whole bunch of chaos and turmoil in our land. Do you long for God like this? Do you yearn for Him? Even when things are horrible. I think most of us would have to confess no. But how can we increase that thirst? Well, why do you think David had such a great thirst for God? What were the reasons for his thirst? First, look at how he addresses God. He says, "O God, you are my God." David didn't worship a strange or a foreign God whom he did not know. The God he came to worship was his God. He had a personal relationship with God. He lived in communion with God. He belonged to God, and God was his God, his Father. And so his thirst, first of all, stemmed from the very fact that he knew God. He had a relationship. He had communion with God. David also thirsted after God because he had seen God in the sanctuary and beheld His power and His glory. Again, not that he saw God with his eyes, but when he gathered for worship, he got to see God through faith. Not with his eyes. He got to be in God's presence. He communed with Him. He had fellowship with Him. And throughout his life, David saw the power and glory of God on display. He saw it as a boy when he was working in the fields, fighting off animals who would attack the sheep under his care. By the power of God, David had conquered that giant Goliath, that uncircumcised Philistine that challenged the people of God. There was another time earlier on that David was in the wilderness as well when he was fleeing from Saul who wanted to kill him. And God preserved David and brought him to the throne just like God said. David experienced and he saw on display the power of God. But more than all of this, it was in the sanctuary that David saw the power of God. He realized the one he was coming before as he worshipped. David's thirst and yearning was because he knew. He knew the God he served. But also with that, notice especially verse 3. David had an understanding of the steadfast love of God. "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." Now I think you've probably heard of the Hebrew word here that's being used for steadfast love, the Hebrew word chesed. It speaks more of just faithfulness or love. It's the idea of steadfast, faithful love. God is a promise-keeping God who is faithful to His promises, who will love those who are His. He does not stop. His steadfast love is continual for His people. We're not always faithful. The steadfast love of God is an amazing thing. God has made a covenant with us and He doesn't go back on it. He will always be faithful to His people. He will always love His people. He will always be gracious to His people. It's better than life. The more we think of the steadfast love of God, His faithfulness, that ought to increase our yearning for Him. In fact, David knew the steadfast love of God so well. Children, you remember the story of David and Bathsheba? David saw this woman from the roof of his home and he began to lust after her. And he ended up committing adultery with that woman. But the problem, from David's point of view at first, was, oh, she became pregnant. How am I going to hide this? So the first thing he does is bring her husband, Uriah, home from the battle. And his hope is that he will spend time with his wife, and then the pregnancy can be blamed on Uriah. But Uriah didn't do that. And so David eventually sends Uriah to the front lines of the battle. Why? So he could be killed. And he was. So David commits adultery and he commits murder. And at that point, God doesn't say, I'm done with you, David. No more with you. You've gone too far. I will not love you again. My faithfulness for you is done. No, God doesn't say any of that to David. David's not cast off. God in his love sent the prophet Nathan to David, told him of his sin, and David was brought to repentance. Is that not reason to yearn for God? Why does David yearn for God? He knows. He knows that he's a sinner that deserves condemnation, and his God brought him back, did not let him go. That's the steadfast love of God. How can you develop a greater thirst for God? Well, first you must see yourself as God's, and God is yours. Oh God, you are my God. You need to know yourself to be a sinner, and you need to rest on Christ as he's offered in the gospel. If you've never come before God sorrowful for your sin, resting on Christ as he's offered in the gospel, then you're not going to have a yearning for him. But if you've confessed your sin, if you're resting on Christ, then God is your God. Thirsting after God begins with knowing God as your personal Savior. Second, for you that do have a relationship with God, how can you increase your yearning for him? And brothers, as you come to worship morning and evening, as you come to him in private worship and devotions, you come to meet with him. You do enter his presence. You get to have fellowship with him. Don't make devotions, don't make worship just something we do rotely. Yes, it ought to be a custom that we have, that we make it our faithful practice, but not just to check a box, but because we get to come into his presence. You see, the more you meet with God in worship, the more you're going to thirst for him. There's a French proverb that says, with eating comes appetite. The more you feast on God, your appetite should increase. The more you see the goodness of God, the more you taste of his goodness, the more you understand of his faithfulness, your yearning ought to increase. And third, let me encourage you to reflect on the steadfast love of God showed upon you. You're a sinner, and like me, you deserve nothing from God except his condemnation and his wrath. And perhaps you can think of specific times in your life or specific times this week where you're saying to yourself, I did the same thing yet again. The same thing that I wrestle with, the same thing that I don't want to do, I did that again. And God doesn't say, I've had enough with you. If you're resting on him, if he is your God, he forgives you. The more you think about the forgiveness you have in Christ, is that not going to increase your yearning for him? God keeps forgiving me. His steadfast love endures forever. His love is great. We yearn for God the more we understand the greatness of our sin and the greatness of our Savior. John Newton said something like this, when I was young, I knew everything. Now that I'm old, I know two things. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. David's thirst had an effect on David. David's thirst drove him to worship, even where he was. He did not say, when Absalom stops seeking my life, that's when I'll praise God. He didn't say, I'll start praising God, I'll start worshiping God, I'll start meeting God when I'm back in Jerusalem and things are easy. No, he worshiped God in the wilderness. Was that the ideal situation for him? Of course not. We have brothers and sisters in China who are in jail for their faith and they're worshiping God. Is that the ideal situation? No. Is Erica Kirk in worship this morning? I don't know. But she certainly has said things that are worshipful as she appears to be resting on Christ. Is it the ideal situation? No. Verse 1 tells us that David earnestly sought God where he was. He didn't wait to go back to Jerusalem. His thirst drove him to worship God right there in the desert. Some translations of verse 1 have earnestly and some have early. So did he seek God earnestly or early? Well, the word there encompasses both meanings. And if you're seeking God earnestly, you're usually going to do it what as well? Early. And so when he got up, he worshiped God. David sought God earnestly and early. He didn't wait till evening. He didn't wait till noon. He didn't wait till Jerusalem. He sought God earnestly. In the midst of turmoil in our world, worship God earnestly now. David, as we see as well, sought to praise God with his lips. My lips will praise you. In verse 4, I will bless you. Verse 11, the king shall rejoice in God. People of God, use your mouths to praise God, making a joyful noise even when there's wickedness all around. Because he's worthy. Whether you're in the desert spiritually speaking or not, whether you're experiencing a joyful situation, whether you can carry a tune or not, praise God. Remember how Paul and Silas sung hymns to God while in jail. Now, it's often easy to praise God when everything is going well. But at the same time, when our world crashes around us, we still ought to praise God who is faithful, whose steadfast love endures. David also praised God with singing lips. Singing is one aspect of worship. And whether we're in a foreign land or in the courts of the Lord, we ought to be singing praise to him. And as David sought the Lord early in the day, so he would do it in the end of the night as well. He said, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate you on the watches of the night. When David went to sleep at night, he thought about God. He remembered God. He contemplated his faithfulness. You remember God and meditate on him on your bed. Perhaps some of you have trouble sleeping at night. I hope that's not the case for most of you. But what's a great thing to do when you can't sleep? Meditate upon God and his goodness. Meditate upon him. Now that word meditating, we talk about reading the Word of God. We ought to read the Word of God. But we also ought to study the Word of God. I think we could say that meditating is a step beyond reading and studying. What is meditating? One of my college professors used to call this chewing the cud. I remember having goats when we were living in North Dakota, and I grew up in a city, so I didn't think these things through earlier on, but here we have goats on a milk stand and we're milking them and then they're chewing, and I'm thinking, where did you get that from right now? We didn't give you anything. Well, what were they doing? They were chewing the cud. They ate earlier, they brought it back up, they chew it and brought it down. Now, I know some of you might be saying, ew, gross illustration. But that's what we do with the Word of God, right? We take it in, we then bring it back up, and we chew on it some more. This is what we're talking about with meditating. As we yearn for God, what do? We meditate upon his goodness. When the world around us doesn't make sense, which is maybe usual, what do? Meditate on him, his faithfulness, his goodness, his grace. Now, was David's thirst quenched? No, David's thirst was not quenched. It was an unquenchable thirst. But it was satisfied. My soul, he said, will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. David's thirst would not be quenched. He would always thirst after God, but it would be satisfied, and satisfied richly. He would feast on the riches of the worship of God, and it's only with communion with God that he felt fed. He felt satisfied. Again, you can feel satisfied as you meet with him. That means not that we don't yearn for him anymore, but we ought to yearn all the more and keep coming back for seconds and thirds, if you will, and fourths and so on, because he's good. Feast on the Lord. As we gather for corporate worship, feast on the Lord morning and evening. And so, brothers and sisters, may you yearn for the Lord all the more, and may he satisfy you with his presence, with his goodness, with his grace. And to God be the glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And our Father, we pray that you would help us to yearn for you more and more in this dry and weary land in which you've placed us. Lord, there's so much that we don't understand. There's so much that is troubling around us. Lord, help us to yearn and to thirst for you. In fact, as we question what to do in regard to what happens around us, Lord, may the first thing, may the chief thing be to long for you more and more, to worship you more and more. And so, Father, strengthen our faith, strengthen our yearning for you. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.